Wow. Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. Big, big day in our state. A lot to talk about. And of course, we are on top of it just for you. And we're going to bring in Representative Chris Millis, who is, as you know, represents the folks down in Onslow and Pender County. We had him on a few days ago, actually, to talk about his bill that calls into question the tax-exempt status of the NCAA and the ACC for their involvement in political activities. And we had an enjoyable conversation with him about that. Well, he's calling for the resignation and or impeachment of Secretary of State Elaine Marshall, and we will talk to him about that. Apparently, there are hundreds of notary public commissionings that have been allowed under her tenure as Secretary of State for people that are not legal residents of North Carolina or America. Now, and I'm going to ask Representative Millis, who cares? I mean, but you know what? This is a big deal, partly because notaries certify absentee ballots. And there's not a connection here that I'm trying to make as far as alleging anything untoward. The point is, there needs to be complete and total transparency in our government, particularly when it comes to our elections and things that are very, very important, integrity. And here the Secretary of State is allegedly commissioning people who are not even citizens of this country to be notary publics. I just don't understand that. To me, it's a case of someone just feeling like, well, I can do whatever I want to. And Representative Millis has said, no, you can't. So we're going to talk to him about that. And hot off the press, as you know or may not know, late last night, Senator Phil Berger, the President Pro Tem of the Senate and Speaker of the House, Tim Moore, issued a statement that there is a bill that has been filed that will repeal House Bill 2. It's very short, and Representative Millis is not particularly overwhelmed. The Charlotte Observer is reporting that the bill is basically making both sides, liberal and conservative, angry. We will talk to him, get his thoughts on the bill, on the process, and what to expect. So hold on to your hat, folks. It's a busy day in North Carolina, but we got you covered. Right here on What Matters in North Carolina, let's talk now with Representative Chris Millis. Well, we recently had Representative Chris Millis on What Matters in North Carolina. As you know, he represents the fine folks in District 16 in Onslow and Pender counties. But so much going on, and Representative Millis, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, you are calling for the resignation of Elaine Marshall, the North Carolina Secretary of State. Headline says, lawmaker calls for her resignation or risk of impeachment. Can you tell us what prompted you to come out with this announcement?
Yeah, I don't make these implications lightly. This is a serious matter regarding a member of the Council of State. Last September, I read an article in the North State Journal that alleged that, based on communications they've had with the Secretary of State's office, that there is a potential that the Secretary of State was commissioning illegal immigrants who were non-citizen and without permanent residence as notaries. Since reading that article and since a joint legislative oversight committee where the Deputy Secretary spoke to the General Assembly back in December, coming into the session, I submitted a legislative request in February to the Secretary of State's office, to the Attorney General's office, and the State Auditor's office, trying to see, by way of hard evidence, whether this was true. And the evidence is astounding. We found that the Secretary of State, over the course of 9 years, has at least commissioned over 320 non-citizens who are not permanent residents.
Wow.
As notaries, they do not meet the letter of state law. They do not meet the aspects of public code. They do not meet the aspects of even the notary's own application that faces the public. I would never ask for this resignation if it wasn't serious. The hard evidence is extremely troubling to me, And I'm very serious. If the secretary does not resign, that it is important that the legislature move forward with a resolution for impeachment.
Wow. This is all pretty astounding, Representative Millis. I know that this is certainly serious. To the average guy or woman who might listen to this program, and their thought might be, well, what's the big deal? I mean, is this important that these notaries, you know, meet these legal residency requirements?
Yeah, so first and foremost, it is important for the executive branch and its elected officials to be following the law and to be following it transparent to the public. This is another example of a deep state executive branch that is masking from the public what's truly going on, meaning that everything facing the public is that if you're a non-citizen, you have to have permanent residence by way of a green card to become a notary. That's first and foremost. The
okay.
aspects of malfeasance in a public office should be very concerning to the citizens. Secondly, the fact in our state that it only takes one notary to certify an absentee ballot should be very concerning.
Oh, man.
If you have individuals that have already broken federal law to be here illegally, do you think that there is any regard for the role of notary when it comes to affirming oaths or certifying absentee ballots to serve that function in a fraud deterrent role? This is extremely, extremely troubling. And again, I do not make these allegations lightly.
Well, certainly not. And I hadn't really thought about that. So a notary is involved in certifying things that are involved with elections. And of course, we know that that's been a real point of contention here in North Carolina, and court case still possibly going to be heard by the Supreme Court. We don't know the outcome of Governor Cooper and Attorney General Stein trying to pull North Carolina out of that appeal. But you're right. I mean, we as citizens need to know that every single aspect of our election process is transparent and it's above board. And I just want to quote you from the North State Journal article. No, from your website, actually. You say, in this era of heightened sensitivity to voter fraud, election interference, and tension over immigration policy, it is especially troubling that the secretary has commissioned more than 320 alien notaries who can single-handedly validate absentee ballots. Wow. I mean, yeah, I mean, if it was like 8 or 12, somebody might say, hey, look, you need to cut it out. But good grief, Representative Millis, 320?
And that is only across the sample size of my legislative request. So who knows how many more under the tenure of Secretary of State Marshall. And it's important to note that this is just not the gray area in regard to DACA and the Obama administration's interpretation of such. Now, a state official is supposed to follow the state law, the administrative code, and the policies that are set forth to the public. But of the 320-plus, there are over 70 within that in that number that don't even meet the aspects of DACA. I mean, there was everything from Mexican passports, NAFTA cards, visas. There's even one notary that was slated for final deportation.
Oh, my goodness.
That the secretary commissioned as a notary public.
Wow. So getting ready to be taken out of the country, and yet has the stamp and the seal and the ability to act as someone who is legally able to notarize documents. That's just crazy. That really is.
Yep. And again, masked from the public and outside the letter of the law. Not just that, but even throughout this whole entire process, there have been a number of statements before and after my letter to the secretary, where there's been misstatements, untruths, even to members of the General Assembly. And that's outlined in my letter to the secretary, where I call for her resignation members can, or citizens can see that on my constituent website. I put the whole entire letter up there. It makes the entire case for this. This is clearly within the aspects of malfeasance of the public office, which is an impeachable offense. Again, this is very serious. I do not make any of these allegations lightly. The evidence is clear, and the citizens need to know what's going on in regard to this, most certainly.
Well, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. Your colleagues there in the North Carolina House, how have they responded to this very bold move that you have taken?
Yeah, very well. I mean, the evidence stands for itself. The letter to the secretary stands for itself. The members that have spoken to me about this are just as alarmed and shocked and horrified as I am about this. And I definitely believe that when the truth is brought forth to the legislature by way of a resolution for impeachment, this is definitely going to see some traction. It's unfortunate that it has to come to this.
Yeah.
But if the secretary so chooses not to resign, then that's my only recourse. I mean, as an elected official who put in a legislative request and sees the evidence of the executive branch office that is clearly defying state law, what I know, it is my duty and my job to request this resignation and move forward with this impeachment.
Now, I guess Secretary of State Marshall has issued a statement, and she's saying that this is nothing more than a political attack. But it doesn't sound like that to me. It sounds like, you know, you're not jumping up and down, hey, look what I did, but you're taking this very seriously. And I don't know that I would agree with her assertion that this is simply a political attack. I think it sounds like, anyway, Representative Millis, that you've thought long and hard about this.
I mean, again, most certainly, this is definitely a move that is that I do not like. It's definitely regrettable in the sense that it even has to come to this. But again, it is my duty to move forward. And anybody who knows how a vacancy is filled for a council of state member will know immediately that it's not a political matter.
Yeah.
By no means.
Tell us what would happen if she did resign.
Well, it's very clear that the Republican-controlled General Assembly does not get the ability to make an appointment.
Right.
It's left up to the governor, who is a Democrat, by the way.
Right.
So this whole aspect of it being a political move is definitely nothing but another dodge, another aspect of deception away from the facts of what the hard evidence presents.
So for anyone to say, well, this is political, as you just indicated, that can't be true because the Republicans have nothing to gain on the Council of State because, as you indicated, Governor Cooper would simply appoint another Democrat, most assuredly.
Yeah.
Now, so what's next? Can you give us any kind of timeline? If she doesn't respond or if she doesn't, you know, resign, and what is the timeline, Representative Millis, before a resolution of impeachment would be filed?
Very soon. Very soon. I mean, I've been respectful to the secretary in terms of my letter to her office. I've been very respectful in requesting resignation instead of coming out with a resolution for impeachment. All of that respect is there and forthcoming to the public. If she so chooses not to resign, a resolution for impeachment will be brought forth, and we will move from there through the legislative process of doing this. So, I hope it doesn't come to that, but that's the direction that it looks like it's going to take. And so my office is preparing for such. And again, it's just the aspects of a public official in the executive branch not upholding the law and doing so masked for the public and misrepresenting the truth about the matter. And with the evidence that I now know and the facts that has been brought before me through my legislative request, it's my duty to request such. And again, at the end of the day, we just want our Council of State members to follow the law and to execute their job according to the law. That's the only motive here.
Well, yeah, you would think that the people in position of legal authority would follow the law, or at least one would hope so anyway. Well, we'll certainly follow this closely, and I would say that I would really have to commend you, Representative Millis, because, you know, this likely has drawn attention to you and maybe some heat and backlash that you could certainly have done without. But I think the fact that you were willing to come forward and to say, look, this just is not right, and to make a stand for what's right, I applaud you for that, sir.
Well, thank you for the encouragement. I take the oath of office that I've made seriously, and representing the citizens back at home and across the state, and it's just only my duty, but thank you for the encouragement.
Now, while I've got you, I hadn't planned on this, but they call this in the business a twofer. Overnight, there was big news that there is a compromise in the works for repealing House Bill 2. In fact, I'm looking at a Charlotte Observer headline from 6:05 this morning, proposed House Bill 2 compromise, making everyone angry, both liberal and conservative. Some people say that if you're making both sides mad, that you've probably got good policy. I don't particularly agree with that. But can you give us, you know, hot off the presses, what's the latest here, Representative Millis? What's going on?
Yeah, well, it looks like there's going to be a movement to take what the leader of the Senate and the leader of the House brought forth in a press conference late last night to the floor. And we'll see what happens. And I can just tell you this, that compromise is not bad, but compromising on principle is abhorrent.
Yeah.
And this is not a compromise. This is a capitulation. And this is not a reset. This is a repeal. They are replacing it with certain aspects, but it's far weaker than before, and they are giving in to the corporate bullies that are engaged with the liberal left. And to me, I've always been open-minded and objective, that if there's any problems with the truth and the language of House Bill 2, I'm more than willing to amend or to change. But I'm not going to move in the direction of giving in to any perception or misconceptions that have been brought forth about the bill. I'm only objectively about the facts. And this is only a move to try to appease the perception that has nothing to do with the truth of the language that was House Bill 2.
So in terms of this new proposed legislation, what I've read so far is that it resets bathroom access to the way it was before House Bill 2 and includes a moratorium preventing local governments from passing their own non-discrimination ordinances through at least 2020. If I'm just an average citizen, I'm going to ask, what's wrong with that?
Well, first and foremost, legislative intent is huge.
Okay.
There are aspects that are being repealed within House Bill 2 that has tremendous amount of protections that after the left has brought forth their actions to the Charlotte City Council, that these protections are now needed. Also, I would say this, in terms of legislative intent, there's the section of the bill that expands the police powers of local governments to get into aspects beyond just public accommodations, but to get into aspects of employment. Now, it does put a shot clock on that to say it can't be done until 2020. The legislative intent is clear that you're allowing an expansion of police powers to a date certain. But also note this, the date certain is uncertain anytime the legislature is in session.
Yeah.
That section that has the 2020 shot clock on it could be dropped in any bill and repealed, including the budget.
Hmm.
And so this is a very bad move for the citizens of this state. I respect my colleagues that disagree, but I have to stand on the principle of the matter, and I'm held accountable to such. And to me, this is a very bad move for the citizens of this state. And again, I've always been taught, you give a bully your lunch money one day, they're going to ask for it every day.
Yeah.
I'm not about capitulating to the left. This is exactly what's going on.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. Now, help me understand this language, Representative Millis. It says, preemption of regulation of access to multiple occupancy restrooms, showers, or changing facilities, state agencies, et cetera, community colleges, university system, and political subdivisions of the state, including local boards of education, are preempted from regulation of access to multiple occupancy restrooms, showers, or changing facilities, except in accordance with an act of the General Assembly. So does that do what conservatives have been concerned about? Does that keep men out of women's restrooms?
Potentially, but the bill language was dropped on all of us late last night. It has not been vetted.
Right.
Supposedly, the process is going to be to take a House bill that's already over in the Senate, gut it out, put this language in there, send it back to the House with no ability to amend it, and to push forward with it with just a concurrence vote. So the aspect of any ability to vet this thoroughly to make sure that we're clear that it does what it says it does is unknown. Mark, it may take care of the main issue, but the main issue to the left is not that. The main issue is the aspects is that we put ironclad protections and preventions on the ability for them to promote gender fluidity by stating biological sex.
Yeah.
And we stop local governments from overstepping their constitutional authority and bounds by the way that our state constitution is worded on matters of economics, therefore employment. This is definitely a step in the wrong direction. It needs further vetting. It needs good time. And really, we shouldn't be running through the shot clock of the set by the NCAA. We should be prudent on behalf of the citizens we represent. I don't represent the NCAA. I represent citizens of the 16th District. And this action and the process of it is extremely alarming.
Well, thank you for being candid. And Representative Millis will certainly follow this. So just real quick for our listeners, normally a bill is heard. And if it's passed in the House, it goes to the Senate. It has to go through Senate committees. It has to be passed in the Senate and then comes back to the House if it's not the same. So they're gutting a previously passed House bill. And then if they pass it in the Senate, it'll go back to the House, you said, for a concurrence vote. So that means there will be no committee meetings at all on this, correct?
I don't think so. I can't say for certain whether
right.
they'll bypass the committee, but more than likely, they'll go to a rules committee in the House, and they will vet the bill that came over from the Senate. But the thing to note is that when you have a concurrence vote, whether in committee or even on the House floor, that if the leaders of the bill want to avoid conference, there's no amending such. Again, the only way to be able to amend such is if you go to conference between the Senate and try to make changes to it. And so the ability for us to run amendments on the House floor is potentially snuffed.
Wow.
This is not the way legislative process is supposed to take forth. When House Bill 2 was passed, it was vetted. I did my due diligence. I knew what I was voting on. It went through committees in both chambers. It had time for public comment. It was a quick process because we were in an aspect of a special session, but it most certainly wasn't handled this way.
Yeah. Representative Millis, I know you're busy. You've got to get back to the General Assembly and get to work. Thank you very much for your candor. It doesn't sound like it will be smooth sailing for this latest repeal or whatever it is, bill to House Bill 2. And I agree with you. I said last week on this show, Representative Millis, you know, I think we could very easily just tell the NCAA not to let the, you know, door hit them on the way out. I don't appreciate them bullying our state. I appreciate your bill that looks into their tax-exempt status. And I got to tell you, Representative Millis, just thank you for standing strong. We certainly appreciate it.
Well, most certainly, this is not over. The votes are on shaky ground, especially in the House. So the citizens out there that really care about this matter and care about not capitulating, make sure to be a voice. This is not a done deal, and Paul Ryan may have a pen pal.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, sir. Have a great day. Hope things go well for you. And as always, thank you for being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina.
Most certainly. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good day. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, if we had a whole lot more representatives and senators and public officials that were like Representative Chris Millis, willing to take a stand for what's right, I think things would be certainly much better in our state and in our country. And we appreciate him. We recorded this interview very early on Thursday morning, and we appreciate him making time for us. And folks, let's not, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but I think I'm going to pat ourselves on the back here at What Matters in North Carolina. Here's a member of the House of Representatives does not in any way, shape, or form need to record an interview early in the morning on Thursday, but he was absolutely willing without hesitation. Why? Because this show is bringing to you the latest, most relevant information and informing you of things that matter in North Carolina. Representative Millis understands that. He knows that this is a medium that he needs to be on to communicate his message. And I'll be honest with you, it's quite humbling. It's awesome that people view our podcast as something that is important. And I want you to feel the same way, because the work that we're doing here is very, very important, getting out the word on things that matter in our state. And you've heard that as a conservative, he's not thrilled at all about this effort to repeal House Bill 2. I would suggest that you go online and look at it. You can actually go to Senator Berger's website and philberger.org, and you can find a copy of the bill. And let me give you that one more time. Senator Phil Berger, it's philberger.org, and there's a copy of the bill. It says click here, and it'll take you to the bill. It's only like 18 or 19 lines, and it's very simple. And yet, the Charlotte Observer, as I said, reporting that both liberals and conservatives are very concerned. And so you might want to break off a phone call to somebody in the General Assembly and voice your opinion if you're in favor of it or if you are opposed to it. So should be big doings at the General Assembly today. I imagine committee meetings, if there are any, will be packed out, and we'll see what happens, and we'll certainly stay on top of this for you here at What Matters in North Carolina. For the latest, follow us on Twitter at What Matters NC. On Facebook, we're at facebook.com/What Matters NC. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark Shiver. We'd love to have you. And by the way, if you missed yesterday's podcast with Daniel Horowitz, he is one of the leading conservative voices in the entire country. And he explained very, very well what happened in the repeal, not repeal, last week, the circus in Washington, D.C. And check that out, freedomactionnetwork.com. You can see Daniel Horowitz's podcast with us there. And or you can find this, of course, in the iTunes or Google Play stores as well. But if you missed that, go ahead and listen to it, because Daniel Horowitz is probably the best, one of the best anyway. Conservative voices in the country, does not mince words, does not shade things. He just tells you like it is, and we certainly appreciate him joining us here on the podcast. Until tomorrow, hope you have a great day. My name is Mark Shiver, and thank you so much for listening to What Matters in North Carolina.